And welcome everybody to episode 28 of Digesting Cinema with Aaron and Christina. I'm your host Aaron, and as always I'm here with my fellow host Christina. And this week we are covering a sport film on a sport we do not follow. We're cheating a little bit here because I kind of do follow the sport we're going to talk about, baseball. So we really narrowed it down to like 1,000 movies, but the movie is A League of Their Own. And for that very special movie we have a very special guest joining us. He is a fan league staple. I knew about him pretty early on to my fan league experience. He is The Quote, also known as Ryan Permison. How are you doing today, Brian?
I am doing well, sir. Thank you very much for having me. This is going to be a great show, and this is a great topic, too. I love this movie.
Yeah, and you don't follow baseball, so it does count, and nope. Christina doesn't either. I'm the only one who does.
I didn't realize that you followed women's baseball, which is what this movie's about.
I mean, I'm a big women's baseball fan, but there's our fellow host, Christina, I'm an even bigger fan of. How are you doing, darling?
I'm great. This is a first time watch for me. I actually can't believe I've never watched this movie. When we did the sign up sheets, when we first started this way back in January, Ryan was one of the original people that signed up, even knowing that he was going to have to wait until like halfway through the year. So I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to watch this movie then because I know I'm going to watch it for when we have Ryan on the show. So I'm excited to have finally watched it because I have definitely quoted There's No Crying in Baseball before. And now I get the full meaning of it. So I'm very excited to talk about this movie.
I'm pumped to be talking about our second straight movie where it's basically all women. Like, we're just like, we get a couple men in this movie, more than Portrait of a Lady on Fire, sure, but it's like...
And Hanging Up.
Yeah, and Hanging Up. I mean, we are in the middle of girl power, which, yeah, we got our third straight female-led film here, and I think that's great. Directed by a woman in Penny Marshall before this, coming off of Big. So I think, first of all, we all love Big, but... You know, I think that to take a mega success like that, Big, here's my budget interest, but Big, the first movie directed by a woman to make over $100 million in the box office. So she really came in with her choice of what movie to make, and she chose to make a story about badass women during World War II. I think that is a pretty inspiring choice because, I mean, you can tell, like, she did it all with a very low budget here still, which is very impressive coming off a movie like Big, but we'll kind of get into that. But shout out to Penny Marshall. I'm a huge fan of her work. And this is a movie that I'd been waiting to rewatch for a long time. So thank you to Ryan for suggesting this. This is just a movie that I haven't really ever heard anybody say they don't like. This kind of goes in that category of movie where it's like everybody at least kind of likes this movie. No, I've never heard anybody hate it. So maybe we'll hear it today. Who knows?
Well, I will start us off before we jump into our discussion. As always, guys, you know, I like to bring you the synopsis from IMDb.com. And it is two sisters join the first female professional baseball league and struggle to help it succeed amidst their own growing rivalry.
It's like a medium.
Yeah, I feel like in the synopsis, I maybe would have put the time period in there because it's kind of like... The whole point of the movie is why are women even getting an opportunity to play professional baseball? It's because World War II is happening and our male baseball players are going off to war and they cancel the league, basically. They're like, well, we're not going to have Major League Baseball. So I guess they're bright ideas. I guess we'll let women play.
Yeah. Trading in the oven mitts for the baseball mitts. Yeah. As one of the headlines said in the movie, which was... You know, there was like a quasi sexism throughout this movie, which I think was on purpose to kind of express the time, but kind of goes into an overall issue I have with the movie, which is it dips into a lot of these very important subjects, but that's where it really seems to stop. And I get it's a very different movie if it really goes full bore into these heavy subjects, and it wasn't quite that type of movie, but still kind of weirded me out. That was one aspect that weirded me out overall with this movie, but it was very nice. You don't think about it too hard.
Before we jump into it, Ryan, is there a reason you suggested this movie? Or like you signed up for this topic, you picked this movie. Why this movie? Why this topic compared to everything else you could have picked?
Well, I think it's because I, like many, grew up watching this movie because I'm a 90s kid and the 90s are great for a lot of reasons. And I'm not just talking about Fox Kids, ladies and gentlemen. There were great movies made in the 90s as well. And this is certainly one of the best, if not greatest, films of the decade itself in the 90s, even though it's set... It's a period piece set in the 1940s. And granted, I didn't know about this going in. Like, I'm a little kid watching this film. Like, wait a minute, there was All-American Girl, there was professional women's baseball in the 40s? What? Fantastic, great history lesson. Penny Marshall and company directed the heck out of this movie. So much so that I watched this film probably, I don't know, multiple times a year. That's how much I love this movie so much. And plus, I don't really follow sports. I'm sorry. I don't sports. That's why I'm the movie guy in my family. And that's why I've been the movie guy since I was born, literally. But it's a great film. So I figure, why the heck not? I mean, I follow baseball, but I like movies about baseball. And this is certainly my all-time favorite one.
Perfect. I'm excited to talk about this because there were definitely parts that hit me in this movie that I wasn't expecting to. So it's hard sometimes to watch period pieces because you just see how much women are crapped on all of the time. So even if it's not a period piece, even if we watch an older movie that was filmed at that time, I mean, Aaron and I joke about it, but we've seen women get just slapped around and it's just totally at that point, like culturally appropriate. Like nobody cared that somebody just casually slapped a woman. You know, we see how, you know, they're just second class citizens. So it's just sometimes it's hard to watch that. And just sometimes you kind of still feel like that, even though it's 2021. But this one, I think, even though it had that subtleties, even though it had that sexism in there, there was still a lot of empowering moments in this. And to really see them come together and just be badass athletes, because I'm not a badass athlete. I am just here.
Yeah, this movie is just full of badass women. Within the team, each one of the players on it is completely developed and has their own kind of character arc and set of characteristics, and they're developed. And there's just like on the bus and at different times, like really interesting conversations between the women in this movie. But at the end, there is a constant theme that these are badass women that can do everything men can do and more. And I'm all for that message. This movie should be the Bechdel test. This should be the movie where are we testing if the women in the movie are developed enough as characters? Because each one of the women in this movie doesn't need a man in their life to have their character developed, although that's kind of touched on a few times in some weird ways. But we'll get to kind of those things. But overall, I mean, these are just badass women who are finally given an opportunity and they want to prove they've got everything the men have and more. I mean, it's a really great just opportunity and platform to celebrate real life women in this case in a time where this really was happening back in World War II.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting also because you have to think like back then it was probably rare if they went to college. It was very rare for them to have their own lives. It was always, well, you need to get married and then you're going to be the housewife and then you're going to raise the babies. So not only are they being these athletes that are pretty incredible, they get to do their own thing. Like they're making money. They're getting paid $75 a week, which is more than Dottie and Kit are making on the farm. They're doing something that's for them. And it's like a social aspect also. So it's like they have this entity that's entirely their own and they're not sharing it with anybody else, especially the man in their life. This is only for them. Ryan, any thoughts?
One thing that this film has, and this is something that I wish more films had, this film not only has a message, this movie has heart, man. Like this is about women who at a time didn't really get a whole lot of opportunities, but when this opportunity came along, they grabbed at it. And we keep saying the word badass women. It's true. They're badass, laying the smack down on society's candy ass by saying, we're not just people who can do X, Y, and Z. We can hit the ball out of the park. We can pitch a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. It has heart, man. Penny Marshall in both her films, both Big and this one, it has heart. It has so much heart. And it's great. I love that about it. And also the score by the legend himself, Hans Zimmer, kicks in. And it's fantastic. You got, granted, I may not be the biggest Madonna fan. Well, Madonna now, not so much. Back in the 90s, I liked you a lot, Madonna. And I'm not just talking about A League of Her Own. You were great as Breathless Mahoney, Dick Tracy. That movie was good too. But that's a separate episode for another day. But in this case, as May, Morbido, all the way May, they love her. It worked. And the theme song, This Used to Be My Playground, one of the best end credit sequences I've ever seen in a movie. It's beautifully written, beautifully sung. Just the whole thing is so good. Honestly, I really can't find any flaws that me personally, I would have with this movie. I love it to pieces. I really can't find anything negative because it's just so good.
All right, well, let's start at the beginning of the movie where we meet Gina Davis, who plays Dottie, and we meet her sister, Kit, and they are on just like their local softball team in Oregon, right? That's where they live. And we kind of get the foreshadowing where Dottie's the older sister, where she's trying to coach up Kit. Don't swing at the high ones. And, you know, Kit's the stubborn younger. I mean, it's a stereotypical sister relationship. Yeah. Like, I'm not taking your advice. You're the older sister. But it's clear that Dottie is the star and Kit is just constantly in her shadow. And I mean, they live on the farm. I mean, they are competitive down to like, oh, you have to walk in front of me. I mean, down to like the nitty gritty. There's some sort of rivalry between
the two. They're competitive like brothers are competitive. So it's a really clever kind of twist on the typical like gender role right from the jump with these two characters. It's like typically the way sisters are portrayed in movies is like not in a competitive light.
It's right. Like, if they're competitive, it's you're prettier, you're skinnier, right. You have the better
clothes. Who can do more with like our abilities?
Right.
Because, you know, it's like you're used to the farmer boys, not the farmer girls.
Right. I'm married. You're not. You know, it's
right.
constant battle, a little bit of bickering between the two. And this is also my introduction to a lot of, you know, actresses in this movie. So great introduction for Gina Davis as well. You know, oh, God, what's her name? Lori Petty. Thank you.
Yes.
Lori Petty of Free Willy. That's where I knew Lori Petty from, as the mom in Free Willy. So when I saw this.
Or the trainer in Free Willy. Yeah.
Yeah, the trainer, sorry. Yeah, but either way, I was like, yeah, that's the Point Break girl, too. Like,
exactly. I didn't even see that movie until last year during the pandemic. Who'd have thunk?
Well, I did also read, I was doing a little bit of research about this movie. There is a quote with Lori Petty saying that she herself was a little stunned to be working with Gina Davis and felt like she always had to be keeping up with her. So it was a very like Kit Dottie relationship was a little bit in real life reflected, because Lori always felt like she needed to live up to Gina Davis's example, which I mean, we see right from the start. Yeah, Gina Davis is married. Her husband's off at war. Kit's just like not sure what she wants to do with herself and she's finding herself. So it's Dottie has it all together. Dottie's married. Dottie's the star athlete. And I'm just like the kid's sister. Like she even mentions that like when dad introduces us, it's, oh, here's my daughter, Dottie. And here's my other daughter, Dottie's sister. So she already feels like this weird resentment, which I find it odd because it doesn't really seem like Dottie gives a shit if she's married or like good at baseball. I don't know where Kit's getting this pressure from. It really seems like Kit keeps putting it all on herself because it doesn't really seem like Dottie is putting that on her. But once they get picked up to go to the tryouts, Dottie didn't even want to go. She's like, no, like, I don't need to play.
Hold her hand for a while. You know, my hands are tied. My husband's overseas. Oh, relax. I'm talking, looking, now touchy.
Right, exactly. So Kit really wanted to go. They didn't even want Kit because they didn't think she was good enough. And it was one of those things where it's like, well, we'll let her play if you play. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, this is where I get as like the older sister. When you're the oldest sibling, you always have that guilt because your parents always pull that card. Well, she can go if you go. So it's like, you know, you always feel like you have to tag her along, or like you can't go unless you bring your sister. So like that guilt was probably in Dottie's head, because I'm sure that's how she was raised, because that's how every oldest sibling is raised. I know Aaron's the younger one. Ryan, where do you fall in your family?
Well, I'm the youngest of my family, so, you know, I got all the nice stuff. I got away with a couple of things maybe here and there, but it was fun because, like I said, I was the youngest and I was born in the 80s, raised in the 90s. God, it was a great time to be alive.
You guys are the life ruiners because your older siblings had to drag you around. As the oldest, I know what Dottie felt in that moment. And that my little sister, who I'm sure she loves more than anything in the world, is telling me that she wants this and she can't do it unless I do it. So now I have to. Otherwise, she's going to resent me forever and she's never going to leave me alone because the younger siblings are so annoying when it comes to that.
Let me speak on behalf of younger baby siblings everywhere.
Go ahead.
I don't like how this conversation's going, so I'd like to change it for a sec. I think what ends up happening is, sure, maybe it initially is on the older sibling to bring the younger sibling along. They have more experiences. They have more opportunities. Include the younger as they're learning. It doesn't hurt. You would have liked it if you had the opportunity to at the time. I digress though from that to, once y'all do help us, you'll bring it up over and over again months later, like to the newspapers, and be like, the only reason Dottie's here is because I brought her along and let the newspapers.
The only reason Kit's here.
Right. Yeah. Kit's here is because, you know, I'm sorry I get names confused, but you know, like either way, the only reason Kit's here is because Dottie came, and like they end up making that like a story in the newspaper along the way once Dottie starts to come into her own a little bit. So it takes away from her story. So that's what older siblings will do. They'll lend you that t-shirt. They'll be like, yeah, you can wear my t-shirt. Then 3-4 months later, when you keep wearing it, they're like, oh, nice t-shirt. Who got it for you in front of all your friends? Sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's also factual. That's pretty on point. So anyway, we finally get on the train as they are running up to it, and we get to the tryouts. Mm-hmm.
The train goes, not the station. Great line from Mr. Lovitz as he's trying to get.
As Ernie Cabadino. I'll tell you what, if she comes, she can come too. The only problem is it's going to cost you a train ticket.
It's like the train moves, not the station. So let's go.
Are you coming? Great. Oh, this is making me, it's too good, Christina. It's too good. Anyway, so we get to the tryouts. Fields, tryouts, play. That's it. Get lost. I hate when they get attached to me.
And this is where we meet our main cast, really.
Everybody's there.
This is where we get to meet Rosie O'Donnell, who as Doris crushes it. I freaking love Doris. I'm skipping to the end of the movie, but when she's cheering on the pitcher at the very end, I'm like, this is the kind, like, I just need to have Doris in my real life just telling me how great I am at all times. Like, you brought up heart in this movie. The heart and soul of this this movie is Rosie O'Donnell's character, because all she brings to the table is heart and positivity and like goodwill and bringing up her teammates. Like, that is the key person you'd want on your team. She is the ultimate team player, and she is just there to support her team and do what needs to be done. Loved her character. Madonna's gorgeous. Gorgeous. I mean, I just appreciate they all had their own little stories, and you get attached to all of them. And some of them, you know, they're not really even on screen a lot, but you still get a love for them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They just did that so well. Anybody else want to comment on any of the characters we meet in this part?
The whole tryout sequence is great. You get an idea of where they're going with this league, how it's going to be run, and then you see all the girls trying out, and then you find out they got managers, and then one of them's like, the other team's going to have manager soon, and then we'll get to the iconic Jimmy Dugan in a minute here. But, oh my gosh, like the training sequence, it was great. It was a great training sequence. You get the woman on the NBC radio yapping away about how, oh, this is a big deal, guys. Walter Harvey of Harvey Barger completely, no. I mean, it's just, come on. It's all great. All the characters are in the scene, and it's great, too. You get to see who's going to stand up from the pack more so than others, right? Good stuff.
Aaron, do you want to talk about the uniforms at all, darling?
I mean, overall, I thought that the uniforms were interesting, for sure. I think of the teams, yeah, they definitely saw the brown and yellow team. That was especially rough for me to say. I don't remember the names of the teams, but...
They made the skirts a little bit longer from what they first showed them. When they first saw it, the girls were like, what are we? Like, that's so short. And I love how they're like, well, how am I supposed to slide? How are we supposed to play in that? Like, they're not even... They're taking it seriously. And I think that people that were running the league didn't realize that they were getting actual ball players and not just girls that like wanted attention.
Yeah, they did kind of go into it a little bit. I did appreciate them acknowledging, like, do we sell the sexual aspect of this or not? Because them just being good ball players, that's not enough. Like,
right.
What else are we going to do here? And like, you can see, even if we flash forward a little bit to like when they first start, it's like very sparse crowd. Then you see catch a foul ball, get a kiss. Like, very weird, kind of just imagining if the gender roles were reversed. How that wouldn't be happening.
But you have to get something to get the crowd excited.
Other than just playing baseball.
Other than just playing baseball.
Right, which is, you know, that's as close as this movie gets to making kind of social commentary, I guess, is the like, kind of show the issue, whatever the issue is, but they don't really go into it too much. I mean, that does change into a very different kind of movie. I do, but I guess I'll just acknowledge the particular part where it was the most major issue for me with brushing over like social issues. And it would be when the black women are to the side, the ball comes over and they show one of the women step up and she has an absolute cannon. And yeah. It's basically their way of acknowledging how races were not integrated. It was not integrated at that point. They wanted to maintain the historical accuracy. So it was basically their way of saying, like, they're better or at least as good as us, but we can't play with them. I would have liked for there to be a little revisionist history there from Penny Marshall, where she's like, her talent was undeniable. She became part of the team. Mm-hmm. I get that's not what historically accurate, but sometimes we need to just kind of give history the middle finger here. And I could have used character with her perspective. I think it could have opened up some really interesting, maybe not historically accurate dialogue, but modern retelling of a period where it could have, I think, benefited with a little bit of diversity in the cast. But they chose not to do it with that. And, you know, with the like casual sexism, they kind of address it, but they don't really go much deeper into it. But at that point, you know, women weren't viewing things through a 2020 lens or, you know, modern lens. This was the lens they were more viewing it through, which was like, this is just kind of how it is. Like, they didn't even think anything of it, really, being offered to have to kiss random people if there was a foul ball. Like, talk about their skirts being shorter if it can sell. You know, it's like, we're not talking about sex selling with the Chicago White Sox right now, like, for example. We're not like, how about a couple buttons down there, fellas? Like, you know, stuff like that. But I don't know how you can really keep that feel-good heart of the movie.
All right. Well, I'm going to get to a part where Ryan's going to get very mad at me. Like, this is it. Like, Ryan, you might yell. I don't know if you yell, but you might. I have an issue with Tom Hanks being casted as Jimmy Dugan.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Not that I have an issue with Tom Hanks, the actor, but you're telling me that Jimmy Dugan is like this world-renowned athlete, is like record-setting, hitting home runs, and then you tell me that you're going to cast Tom Hanks to play that role?
Objection. Objection. I can tell you don't follow baseball because you go and look up 1940s, 1930s baseball managers. Players, you're going to, or even players. Look at
players.
Look at Babe Ruth. Look at like, the greats from back in the day, they all drank and ate fried chicken before games or eating donuts. Like, they were like, baseball players didn't become these specimen athletes till like the last 20 years when steroids came into the action with everything. Before that, it was big fat dudes. That, like, I'm telling you, Jimmy Dugan, if you probably Google him, I bet he looks less athletic than Tom Hanks.
Well, Jimmy Dugan's not a real person.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I thought Jimmy Dugan was.
He was a hybrid of two athletes.
Okay. Okay. So they took, that's fine. Every movie takes creative liberties with every story that has ever been told. So we get that. But did you know behind the scenes fun fact about that? Did you know that Tom Hanks, the reason he was like in really good shape before he was cast, and then when he was cast, Penny Marshall was like, eat as much as you want, go to Dairy Queen, load up on ice cream and yogurt as much as you want. We need you to be in a certain way for this character. And he says, okay, fine, sure. And that's how he became Jimmy Dugan, by eating all the Dairy Queen. So Tom Hanks, my hat's off to you for getting in shape for this movie, because that must not have been easy.
He did look like a slush for sure.
Oh my gosh, man. It works so well.
I love when he came out for his opening introduction. He takes off his hat and his hair is like that perfect, like, that looks like shitty hat hair. And
he's Matty
like,
hat
he's like,
hair.
He's like, eat my fat hairy ass. He's just like,
he says, bullshit, you all can kiss my ass. That's right.
All right. Well, then maybe I stand corrected. I retract my statement.
Oh my God. I was going to say, Tom Hanks to me is one of the best parts of the movie.
I'm not saying he did a bad job acting it. It was just like, you're telling me that Tom Hanks is like the record setting home run hitter.
Because he's Jimmy Dugan.
In 1930s baseball, before they allowed different races into the league, it was just a bunch of shitty white people. Yes, I am telling you that they was like this.
All right, I'm fine now. I'm fine with this casting.
We can still be friends. We can still be friends, Christina.
How about John Lovitz, though?
It's great. It's John Lovitz. It's great. It's John Lovitz.
Yeah, he says some really fucked up, like, sexist shit, but, like, his character is not.
Yeah, Aaron, remember? We can't use her. She's great. Why not? What's the problem? You know General Omar Bradley? Yeah. Well, they're too strong a resemblance. You mean you ain't taking her because she ain't pretty? Well, look who just caught up. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, like, and that's, I think it's a great use of kind of getting those things out without bogging the movie down, without losing its heart. I mean, this movie throughout, I was like tearing up at different scenes, in all honesty. Even scenes that weren't sad, just because this movie, it just possesses a heart like throughout it, where you're just like crying, being moved without, at least for me, without even knowing, just hearing that score from Hans Zimmer that's so not intense from Hans Zimmer. Like, you think of Hans Zimmer and you think like, bong, and just like all these epic, this is like a quiet piano soliloquies, if that's the right word. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Like piano noises, whatever it is, like, you know, and just like this beautiful score and like really touching just different conversations between the athletes, between Jim Dugan and Dottie on the bus. I just like seeing them all on the bus at different points and thinking about how fun that must have been just to film, and how, as this was filming, they must have felt like a team themselves because they're filming all their scenes together. They're together throughout this. So I felt like the camaraderie started, the chemistry built as this movie went along, whether that was the intent or just the result of working together. But you felt the chemistry built.
It felt natural. The whole movie felt like they had natural chemistry. And it was organic and it grew at the appropriate moments because, you know, Jimmy Dugan was not interested in doing this and he acted like he wasn't interested. I mean, there's even a point where Dottie steps up to kind of manage and he's like, well, who's managing this team? She's like, it's supposed to be you, but like, you're not doing anything.
Act so like you big lush. Right. Which I don't know what that meant in 1942, but whatever. It was an insult. It was like, someone needs to manage the team, Jimmy. You know, someone actually watches the games. You're asking to get a bump with our best hitter?
Right.
I mean, and how about Marla Hooch? What a hitter. I mean, it's so good. Even the little featurette that they showcase all the girls and the teams in the league, you know, the big newsreel sequence. And you've got, you know, Mae Morabito. And then Ellen Sue Gotlander is a former Miss Georgia. Yeah. I mean,
well, they had them all get like beauty treatments before they played. Like, they all got their eyebrows waxed
and go to charm school. They all had to go to charm school.
Well, right. But yeah, no, you had that. And by the way, Aaron, just so you know, catch a foul, get a kiss. Let's be honest. If you and I were sitting in the stands and our kiss was from Ellen Sue Gotlander, we would not say no.
No, but I would have a problem putting the player in that position to where a foul ball
you
to go get
on the flip side of that,
by a random man.
Yeah, on the flip side of that, I can understand. But if Ellen Sue Gotlander, a former Miss Georgia, for all you young kids out there who have no idea what we're talking about, I couldn't say no. But that's just me. Anyway, that's a sidetrack.
I also mean to get sidetracked. I don't want to be misrepresented here. I also would not say no.
I don't think I would either.
Yeah, so. I think we're all down. It's just the principle of putting these women to where they have to be physically assaulted if a ball goes foul. It's a weird work environment. I mean, that's
they
all.
They had a lot of rules. They like basically had to live in a sorority house where they have like a teen mom, and they weren't allowed to have boys
around everywhere.
They weren't allowed to have boys. Yet Marla Hooch gets married. So what happened there?
Marla Hooch gets married all the way. May has a date like every 3 nights. And they're like, oh, you wear that dress? It's way too small for you. Because, like, she had the teeniest bit of cleavage showing.
I don't plan on wearing it that long. I don't know why you get dressed at all.
Right, exactly.
Oh, by the way, does anyone remember the confessional scene where that's the second time he's dropped that Bible since she's been in there? There's some weird stuff going on back in those days with Mae Morabito, but you know what? We ate it up with a spoon because it's an entertaining film.
No, it definitely is entertaining. That's what you can kind of, at a few points here where you run yourself into a few walls. It's got so much heart, though. It's so sweet. Like it's.
Well, yeah, because there are some parts that get a little slow. Maybe they get a little dry, and you're like, okay, like we get it. We get how their life really was. And, you know, you see them. I do love, though, that this was a thing that happened back in the day where, like, they would go to, like, the social. Like the single hangouts, and it would just be like literally like a middle school dance almost for you to like meet men, and that's what you would do, and you would just dance all night and like see if you could find a husband or see if you could find a wife. I always love that. One of my favorite movies ever is Brooklyn, and that's like a big part of that movie. So I loved seeing it in this because I'm like, that's just my favorite stuff. But it's
a few
just
drinks. Yeah. We go to a roadhouse called the Suds Bucket.
It's just weird to like see that in their minds they were these like top athletes. And at the end of the movie, I believe people saw them as that, but we really watched them grow from like, you're just women that are playing because we need you to. So you still have to do all of your other womanly duties. And then eventually they start to like gain that respect because this wasn't a one season thing. Cause it was about to be, they were like, well, okay, we don't need to do this anymore. And people were like, are you kidding me? Like, look at what's happening. Look how much people love this. Look how much money you can be making off of this. So they really just took this thing that was supposed to just be a one-off and really made it their own and really made it something that people could respect and want to watch.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it goes back to that speech or not the speech, but rather a dialogue scene between Ira Lowenstein and Walter Harvey of Harvey Bar saying, do you know how dedicated these girls are, what they go through every day? Like they play with sprained ankles, broken fingers, that they ride a bus sometimes just to play a doubleheader the next morning. I'll make it up to them. With what? With Harvey Bars? Getting tired of listening to you, Ira. I want your permission to take over the lead. I mean, come on. Like, that is saying, like, this isn't just a one-off season show, pal. This is life. Like, this can run forever, referring to another baseball film. So do it. Just let him do it. And then Walter Harvey's like, nah, you don't need it. Ira's like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is the future of athleticism right here. We're seeing the future in front of us, and you're just ignoring it. Such a good speech by Lowenstein to fight for these women. He fought for the league, man. Like, that's awesome. Yes, this is a girl power movie. But when you get Lowenstein saying, no, we're going to support these girls through thick and thin because they play doubleheaders the next morning. I say, yes, sir. And by the way, Ira Lowenstein, I forget the actor's name. It's not coming to me, but he's been in other stuff. He was in the Bourne series. But anyway, that actor, great actor. I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. This is killing me.
I'm trying to know this stuff. But it's literally everyone that's on the team first. So it'll be, I have to scroll down a little bit.
Yeah, but shout out to David Strathairn.
Yes. David Strathairn, we salute you, good sir.
Yeah, he's great. You know, and shout out to Jewish representation, being the lawyer, of course. Gotta love that. Another thing about this baseball movie I really admire is that it really doesn't like surround like the baseball for the most part. The baseball is used a few times, but for the most part, it's not really, it's a little bit the like general story it brings along, but it's not like a Mighty Ducks sports movie or like a Remember the Titans where you're having like a ton of scenes where you're like following game by game. You're following like a few moments and snippets from the season.
And
for sure, but it's really not the focus of the movie throughout. It's about the team itself.
Yeah, it's about the team. It's about their relationships.
The characters.
Yeah, which I just think is like was a really nice surprise for me because I just was expecting it to really kind of have the results of the games like be like, oh, we're getting close to the playoffs here. And it's just like, it's not that kind of movie. It's much more about the team itself, which I think was the right call.
Yeah, well, and there's only four teams in this league.
Right. So it's like everybody in the playoffs.
You're playing everybody every day. It's like you're playing the same like, granted, it was new, it was fresh, so they didn't know what they were doing. You know, it was four teams at the time. But if I'm thinking to myself, if I have to play 100, well, not maybe not 100, but like 80 to 90, 100 games a year of the same three teams, like, doesn't this get boring for you guys after a while?
Right, exactly.
But it's understandably so.
All right, I'm going to bring us down a couple notches and talk about my least favorite character, Stillwell.
Oh, I hate man.
This child. I understand why they do it. And I know movies do this where it's like, oh, the misbehaved child is so funny. No, it's not. It's annoying. Parents out there, correct your children. Okay? I can't handle that. It is bad parenting when your kid acts up like that. I don't care what anybody says. Get a hold on what you're doing. And if you're not going to raise them right, keep your legs closed. You don't need to have them. So annoying. I get it. Oh, he's funny. He's funny. No, raising crappy children is not funny. It's a societal issue. And they turn out to be crappy adults.
Well, speaking of societal issues, though, it's also a societal issue when she's a single parent, what she's supposed to do with her kid as her husband's off.
She wasn't a single parent. Her
Wasn't her husband off the war?
No.
No. The husband was reading the wall.
He was having a hard time finding a steady job and taking care of the kid.
Oh, yeah. So she just had a loser. That's right. I forgot. Right. Yeah. Right.
He just had a loser husband.
So she married a poor choice of a husband. Yeah, I didn't love Stillwell either, for sure. Definitely one of my lesser favorite characters. I do think there was kind of the interesting aspect of what to do with your kid when you don't have proper childcare. I've forgotten the husband was even in the movie. So listen, that shows how good he is.
He only gets one mention at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
She didn't have childcare issues prior to this because she was home raising him. She should have raised him to not be so annoying. That's all I'm saying. If you're going to bring a life into this world, make them not suck.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that.
I mean, she brings it up at the end of a conversation when he runs everyone off the bus. Evelyn, you're going to have to kill your son. And then she says, he's really sweetie, Donnie. Yeah, I know. I hope I have five. Just like, it's like, okay.
They only have a Stillwell angel. No,
right. He is anything but an angel. He's more like the problem child of 1992. Because Problem Child had one or two movies in the 80s, if not in the 90s. Which, by the way, there's a convention going down in a month and a half where the girl who was in Problem Child 2 is going to be at this convention I'm going to. That is insane.
That should be wild.
That is weird, crazy stuff.
It's just exciting that conventions are happening again, so I'm excited.
Oh, they're back. And this event is this close to being a sellout. That's why I had to tell my GF to buy her tickets. It's like, honey, if you really want to go to this thing, you better buy them tickets now. So, and then she did, and eventually I bought my tickets.
We've gotten confirmed Ryan has a girlfriend.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. And I changed my status. I knew the internet would break, and it did. It's going to be my first convention in over almost 2 years because of the thing we just went through.
Congrats,
Thanks, man.
Back on the rails.
Anyway.
Well, why exactly is Dottie, like, Dottie's angry and wants to leave. Is it just because of Kit? Like, Kit just bothered her that day? Or she just doesn't want to play anymore? She's just over this. She's just, like, packing up her stuff. She's just angry in the locker room. And she just doesn't want to be on this team anymore. She's still willing to play, but she doesn't want to be here anymore. And I'm pretty sure it has to do with her sister, because eventually Dottie just says, whatever, just trade me. Just make it happen by tomorrow, or I'm not playing anymore. And then it turns out that Kit is the one that gets traded. And we have this whole, like, blow up, essentially at their, like, sorority house, where, like, Kit's freaking out. She's like, I have to get my stuff. And they're yelling at each other. And I love how the other girls are like, so wait, like, Kit's not on our team anymore? Like, she got traded? Or, like, the one woman, like, comes out and, like, Kit yells at her. And she's like, that was really rude. Like, why did you say that to me? But also, like, as someone that was in a sorority, that is kind of like how it is. Like, if you're not in the know right away, you're kind of like, wait, what? Exactly, in that dumb, stupid voice.
And then the two girls downstairs were like, this is going to be better than going to the movies. Let's go see this. Let's go see this argument take place.
Because Kit was so immature. Like, she...
He was miffed.
I feel like they didn't really make her super likable all the time. Like, you wanted to root for her, but, like, she really didn't have any redeeming qualities because she was so annoying. Like,
scrappy.
Oh, well, I mean, she got mad because Dottie said that she shouldn't be pitching anymore, right? And they got into a fight because Jimmy Dugan was like, should I pull her out? Yeah. And it was kind of like a shitty move on his part to, like, ask Dottie. But, I mean, I guess as the catcher, she knows. But she was like, yeah, she's done. She's throwing grapefruits. But, like, Kit is so immature that she doesn't even see, like, you know what? I am having a crappy game. Like, it's better for just to rest my shoulder and not play today, and I'll play a different game. But, like, that whole, so I don't know. How do you guys feel about Kit? Like, do you like her? Do you not like her?
I wouldn't say she's the antagonist, because that's a strong word, but she kind of is, because Dottie's the star of the film, she's the star of the team, and Kit's trying to get out from under her sister's shadow, and I get that. But, you know, when she throws temper tantrums, and, you know, she's at a certain age, I mean, granted, she may be the younger sister, maybe Kit's sister at that, but whatever. But I'm saying to myself, you're still a bit of age, so it's like, should you really be throwing these kind of temper tantrums? Aren't we a bit, you know, a bit old for this? But, hey, look, You're the kid's sister. You're upset. You got traded to a team you don't want to be on, and you're still doing something on a team, but you're not even sure if you're the main pitcher or not. I mean, whatever. So she's miffed. And by the way, I've always wanted to throw something at a window and break it when I get angry at something or someone. I just never had the cojones to do it. So my hat's off to Lori Petty with putting a lot of steam and fire on that fastball through the window as her opponent that night in that room. That's pretty cool stuff, Lori Petty. I'll give credit where credit is due. But I wouldn't say I hated her. I just kind of felt bad for her at certain times, but I didn't exactly always root against her because I'll be honest with you, Christina, I was just in this movie to enjoy it. I'm not really thinking of who's the protagonist, who's the antagonist, because when I saw this movie growing up as a kid, we don't think about that sort of stuff as a kid. You know, so we're just enjoying the film.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say like I hated her, but it was also like they didn't really do a good job of like making me like her. I feel like made a lot of the other women so likable. Like you were just so invested in their stories and like you just wanted
like
them to
Doris.
Be
okay. I mean, everything that Rosie O'Donnell does
is
Doris.
Right.
Because it's like I feel like you didn't even really know enough about Doris personally, but you still liked her because she was so wonderful to everybody on the team. She just wanted to build everybody up. And she was good at what she did. Like, she just cared so much. So it's, I didn't need to know her story. I didn't need to know what her love life was, where her family was from. I didn't need to know that about her. I already knew I liked her based on how she treated everybody else.
I think there was a little bit of a lack of development and overall arc for Kit by the end, where it was like, why are you just here? Because this is just a sibling rivalry. Is that the whole kind of dramatic tension through line for her character? And where's like the progression as a character even after she's traded? And that's kind of frustrating, but that's kind of maybe her character is just stubborn. Some people just don't change even in the face of reality.
Yeah. We also have a scene that's on the bus that's between Dottie and Jimmy, where Dottie's talking about how she hasn't heard from her husband in a while. And then a few scenes later, we get the telegram. And I remember as I'm watching the movie, I'm thinking, oh God, I really hope it's not Dottie's husband. But it's like, there's still a telegram, which means it's somebody in this room's husband. So it's like, you're hoping it's not the husband you quote unquote know because he's been mentioned. So I mean, it's either going to be him or it's going to be an unnamed guy. But at the end of the day, somebody's getting the worst news of their life. And it's the super dramatic thing of like, we don't know who the telegram's for. And Jimmy's like, well, just tell me who it is. And then it's like the slow walk and it's the person that's next to Dottie. But it's still this sad moment, even though we don't really even know the woman that well, we don't know anything about her husband. It's still this moment of, you know, we just watched somebody have their whole world fall apart, even though you got what you wanted as a viewer because it wasn't the guy that you know, you didn't want it to be the husband.
First time I saw that when, as a kid, I didn't really know what too much to think of. I mean, I know what it means, like the person died, but at the same time, I'm thinking, this is sad, but I thought that this is a movie. I thought, you know what I mean? Like you want like things to turn out well for everybody, but at the same time, you're not thinking too much because we're, you know, I'm not a history buff, and you know, I'm not much of a history buff myself, but still. It's crazy, but yeah, no, that was probably the most emotionally wrought scene for me when I watched that for the first time. Granted, when you watch it over and over again, you've seen it a million times, you know what's coming, but at the same time, you still feel bad for her. But then again, she still goes on the rest of the season and plays ball. She even takes over for Kit Keller in that game. And then she ends up becoming the hero to get him in the playoffs, respectfully. And then she does some of the pitching in the World Series event. If not, it's mostly Ellen Sue doing the pitching at that point. But still, she had a role to play. She did well. And she's part of the Penny Marshall, Rob Reiner family. So once again, my hat's off to everybody in the cast because she did a fine job.
Yeah, it was just a nice scene where you see
the reality of war.
You see him, you know, because he kind of detached himself from it. But you see him like offer his condolences. He hugs her. He's one of the first to do it. So I thought it was just as crappy of a moment as it was still a nice moment to like see the team come together, to see like Jimmy humanize a little bit. And then it, unfortunately, the reality of, all right, guys, you know, we still have a game to play because there's playoffs we need to get in. I mean, unfortunately, that's how life is sometimes. Like we just have obligations that we need to do, even when tragedy strikes. So if it's not directly affecting you, then you still need to show up and do your job.
Yeah, spot on.
So then Jimmy discovers that if they make it to the World Series, he gets a bonus.
Oh, yes.
So yes, he is heavily motivated. And after they trade Kit, one of the things Kit says is, fine, I'll see you in the World Series. Lo and behold, it is Kit's team versus Dottie's team. You know the team names, Ryan. Who
that would be the Rockford Peaches going up against the Racine Belles. Hit for hit, strike for strike, blow for blow, to the point where they had to play a seventh game just to find out who was going to be the first ever All-American Girls Professional Baseball League World Series champion. It was great. Great montage. Great team names, great uniforms, great coaches, great comedic moments by Jimmy Dugan in the locker room, especially when he gives that prayer. It's a great prayer. I think it was one of the best pregame speeches of all time. Wouldn't you agree, Aaron? Especially when they thank you for that waitress in South Bend. You know who she was. She kept calling her name.
It's right up there with Herb Brooks from Miracle. I mean, it's right up there. I mean, just the greatest speech.
It's so good. Even before that, the pregame thing he does in the church during the montage, he's like, all right, God knows we have a game. It's not like any of this helped, believe me.
Yep. It's nothing. So good. No greater force in this world than a suddenly religious athlete or coach. I mean, they believe in the Lord more than anybody you'll ever come across, especially when there's a bonus involved. All of a sudden, God is real.
Puts the towel on the floor, like leave alone a little prayer.
You see this all the time from athletes, from coaches. All of a sudden, the playoff bonus is coming in. It's like, where was this guy the whole year? Where is this intensity? So I bought it completely from the coach.
It was great.
Definitely.
I loved it.
But we're reaching essentially the climax of the movie where we are in game seven, Kit's pitching and kind of shits the bed because everybody's just hitting it and the peaches are up. And Kit goes and has an emotional meltdown in the dugout, which is true to character. So she has had essentially zero growth so
far.
We don't all grow.
Panic attack in the dugout.
Yeah. Her teammate is basically like, we are one run away from tying this. Like, we are totally still in this game. Like, you got to get it together because we got to go hit. Like, you got to hit. And all movie, it's been Kit always swings when she's not supposed to. Gina Davis obviously knows this as the catcher and calls basically the pitches she knows her sister can't hit. But, you know, it's a movie. Yep. So we know that she's strike one, strike two, and she nails it on the third pitch. It's a triple and she decides to keep going. Like in any other game, she should have stayed on third base. She definitely did not have enough room, but she's stubborn and wanted to be the hero and wanted to show up her sister. And then we have basically a callback to a previous play where Kitten then runs into Dottie defending and Dottie drops the ball. So now I need to know, Ryan, did she drop the ball on purpose? What is your vote?
First time I saw this movie, I easily would have said, wow, so the invincible one is not invincible after all. It can make mistakes. Now that I think about it, she did drop it on purpose. I think it's because the time was right. It's like, you know what? I played this game for a long time. I want to be with my husband. We want to be at home. We want to have kids. We want to put, you know, we want to build our own future. So it's your time. It's your chance to have this time in the spotlight. So I'm going to pass the torch on to you. So yes, she did drop it on purpose. Because otherwise she definitely held on to that ball. But no, she dropped it on purpose. She passed the torch on to Kit. It was her time. And lo and behold, the league didn't just end after one season. It continued on for years to come. And Kit became a star. So it was a passing to the torch moment. And you know what? For me, it worked in this movie. I respected it. I understood it. I mean, granted, the first couple of times I'm like, Dottie, how could you? But then when you get older, you get a little wiser. You understand how life works. And I understood it. And I respect it. So once again, hats off to everybody, because that was one heck of a climactic showdown for the girl to run into the catcher and put that much force. I'm like, geez, this sport can be rough and tumble, but it's good.
All right, Aaron, what is your opinion?
Oh, she dropped the ball on purpose, for sure. I didn't have a doubt when I watched this. I thought it was pretty clear watching it today, but I just think that it makes sense for both characters in this position, especially for Dottie. And it's just like kind of one of those classic older sibling moves where you've kind of got to maybe let your sibling win or have a little success before they're ready so that they can realize they truly are ready to do it. So it seems like an older sibling move I would like to imagine my brother would do for me, although I'd knock the ball out of his hands regardless. But like, if for some reason I couldn't, I think he would do the solid for me and make me look good in that situation. I just think if like she has dropped it, it takes away a lot of the dramatic kind of weight from the decision. It takes it in kind of a different direction, I think is less effective than if it is Dottie's choice. It was Dottie's time to go. It was the right moment.
I agree with you because I think it was pretty well established in the movie that as much as Dottie loved playing baseball, this wasn't her goal. Mm-hmm. Her goal was to be with her husband and start a family. And that was pretty much well established from the beginning of the movie, and she never really veered from that, even though she was incredible, even though she was the best player in the league. I mean, granted, there are only four teams, but still, you're the best player in the entire league that now has an opportunity to expand, and she probably would have been the best player in the league for a few years before you got new talent coming in. And it was just clear that Kit wanted it more than her. So why, if she knew she wasn't going to stay, why not do her sister the solid? And I would think as an older sibling, I would do the same thing for my sister. Plus, I can hold it over her head for the end of time that, hey, that World Series you won, I let you have it.
See, once again, yeah. This goes back to earlier when we were talking about when siblings do a favor, older siblings, they're doing it so they can mention later that they
Because did. At the end of the day, you know, deep down, Kit's always wondering, did I genuinely win or did she drop that ball on purpose? And that's something Kit's going to have to live with for the rest of time. Yeah, and that's why it's perfect.
Yeah. I agree.
All right. And then we get to the part of the movie where I didn't think I was going to cry, but I did. When we get out of the flashback and you see all of the women who are now older and seeing each other again and reliving their glory days and catching up of, you know, you went to college and became a doctor and you married the man you thought you were going to marry. And we figure out, you know, who had passed on before this reunion. And I just thought this entire ending was so beautifully done and just such a tribute to what really happened in our history. I just thought this was so perfect. And then we finally get a little closure also with Dottie and Kit, which I thought was really nice because I didn't realize that it was not the actresses in makeup. It's just two separate people that just happen to really, really look like them.
I realized it with the ADR voiceover of Gina Davis. That really weirded me out when it wasn't Gina Davis. And I'm like, that's Gina Davis's voice.
Yes.
Like, that's my movie weird uncanny valley moment of this movie for sure is the ADR Gina Davis voice with not Gina Davis. It's like, but you sound like Gina, you have Gina Davis's voice.
Yeah, they I wonder just, why should,
that was a bad call.
Yeah, I wonder why they went that route and didn't just put makeup on them.
Maybe the makeup was still not quite to where it got like later on. This is early 90s. Though,
when did Mrs. Doubtfire come out?
Exactly,
a year after.
Yeah, so they had the technology. They just didn't bring in Harvey Firestone.
Ryan, how did you feel about the ending of this movie?
Oh, love the ending, good. No, it was a great ending. Everything comes full circle. And all the women who were in that sequence, they were all actual women who competed in the leagues back in the day. And the movie comes out in 92 and the league started in 42, 43. So it's like around the 50th anniversary of the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League itself. And they're inducted into the Hall of Fame in real life in Cooperstown, which I've had the pleasure of visiting once when I was very, very young. So it's been a number of years since I've been to Cooperstown. But if I ever get the opportunity to go back there, yes, please, I would do it. So to see it come full circle and you see where everyone ended up, you see people getting back together, reliving the days. And then at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, you get the theme song, the girls' locker room's theme song that they all came up with. It's one big, happy, dysfunctional, maybe not so dysfunctional family. And it's great. It's great. I love it. And then the end credit sequence with This Used to Be My Playground with Madonna playing over. I thought it was great. I love that piece of music. And now I'm willing to admit this. I am man enough to admit that song is on my iPhone and I don't care what anyone says. It is my favorite, probably my favorite Madonna song ever.
Wow.
Ever.
Wow.
That is scorching.
Like it's just that darn good, in my humble opinion.
Scorching take. I did not like This Used to Be My Playground at all. When that song came on, I almost hurt my eyes rolling them so hard because I'm like, this shit is so sappy. I love sap. I am a fucking tree. But like, my God, like seriously, like this is too much, Madonna. You have to be stopped. Your performance in this movie was fine. I'll say that much. I didn't think, but I thought Madonna was one of the weakest of the main crew.
Wow.
I mean, she was no Gina Davis, no Lori Petty, no Rosie O'Donnell, no Marla Hooch. I mean, honestly, I thought there's a lot of actresses who could have kind of played her role. And then that used to be my playground song, Gag Me With a Spoon.
You know what? I mean, look, she didn't do
it. A little 90s saying for you there. Gag Me With a
Spoon. All good. All good. You know, she may not have done any movie stuff. Well, she did do one movie appearance, but that was in Die Another Day with James Bond, which we won't talk about that. But
no, we won't.
Outside of her acting appearances, like to me, this was my favorite character that she portrayed in a movie. Because second to that is Breathless Mahoney. Speaking of 90s films, Dick Tracy, we're looking at you. And obviously the bottom of the barrel was Die Another Day from 2002, respectively. So I liked her character in this movie. I really, you know, to be honest with you, I would have liked to have seen if she could have honed her acting chops even more so and did more movies after this. Because I would have liked to have seen those. But unfortunately, she chose music over the acting. And that's fine because she was a music star long before she ever tried acting. So good on you, Madonna.
And the Ray of Light music video has Koyaanisqatsi footage in it. So digesting cinema connection.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right. Well, we've covered the movie. So we are going to do our closing thoughts and ratings. Ryan, you will go last as our guest. Our ratings are just standard Letterbox out of 5 stars. Aaron, do you want to start us off this time?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So first of all, Penny Marshall made way too few movies. Let's just say that first and foremost. She only made 7 movies. This was the movie she did after Big. I think that is such a cool choice by her. She had her choice of what movie to make after the hit that was Big. She, first of all, got to work with Tom Hanks again. I always love when directors and actors get to work together. And there's multiple directors who work with Tom Hanks multiple times for a good reason, because he's Tom Hanks. Yes. But the story behind this movie, I imagine that Penny Marshall had a lot of obstacles while making this movie, which any other director coming off a smash hit, especially if they were a man, would not have. So I just think that is kind of a little meta part that adds to this movie, for one. I think the positive female relationships throughout, there's competitiveness as well, but it's just like a positive unity that is encouraged in this movie that I don't think is often encouraged with women. And so I think that's really positive. Just overall, I did have a little bit of a problem with some hand-wavy parts of the racial issues, especially that really just, I felt like, let's, you know, smear the line of reality a little bit here and have her become part of the team. I think that would have been a cool little angle, but they're trying to, I guess, keep it a little bit more historically accurate, but maybe address it a little more than just a little scene. And they did that with a few other things. So overall, this is a really nice movie. I thought that the opening and closing was great. There was some points in the middle. It did feel the drag for me. And I did kind of feel like this is simply nice and nothing kind of else. So not that got me a little more interested. So for those reasons, I'm going to knock it a little bit, but still give it a pretty good rating. 3.5 out of 5 for me. I do think that for a lot of people, that's going to offend them. I did not grow up with this movie. I think it's great of how many boys grew up with this movie, though, because, you know, I think it's good for younger boys and girls to see women that are portrayed in a way that isn't quote unquote typical. So, I mean, this is a movie I really like. I had a good time with. It's just that there's a few things beneath the surface that I feel could have been explored, but maybe would have made this a different movie. So maybe I'm wrong. 3.5 out of 5.
I really, really enjoyed this movie. So Ryan, thank you so much for suggesting it. I really loved, I mean, I think honestly, the baseball parts, I think, were my least favorite parts of the movie. Not that they were bad, but I really loved the relationships that were shown here. I loved getting to know the characters in this movie. Ryan said it perfectly before, that this movie just has a lot of heart. And it was just so nice to see women portrayed in such a positive light and seeing them take control of their lives and, you know, being like essentially masters of their own destiny and not necessarily following the typical route of just getting married and having children. But also, if that's what you want to do, then that's fine too. So it really just opened up that you can do anything that you want to do with your life. The ending scene of just seeing them all reunite, it got me in the feels in a way I really wasn't expecting. I'm just looking back on your life and seeing people that were a part of what maybe was the best time of your life is just such a special experience to share with other people, because nobody knows what it was like to go through that except for you. It's like when people that are on TV shows for years and then they do like a reunion episode or just get together. It's like nobody knows what it was like for that experience except for you people that were a part of it. So I will give this 4 stars out of 5.
All right. Well, for me, since I grew up with this movie, and I'm very happy that I was able to introduce you to this film, Christina, because this to me is not only one of my all-time favorite movies. Like, I mean, I don't think it's in my top 10 favorite movies of all time, but if I could revise it, I'd probably throw it in there, if not my top 20, that's for sure. But for me personally, this is my favorite sports movie of all time. It's one of the best films I think has ever been made, period, because of how well it was directed, how well it was acted. And this is a based on true events. Going into the film in the beginning, when I was a much younger person, had no idea it happened, no idea this occurred. And I love learning more stuff about history that I didn't already know. So, and Penny Marshall did so well on Big, but she directed the heck out of this movie. She just knocked it out of the park. If I were running the Oscars back in the day, I would have given every single person in this film an honorary Oscar. Best director, best picture, best writer, best producer, best actress, best supporting actor, best whatever. I would have given it all to them. I'm going to give this film a 5 out of 5. I didn't really have a problem with this. I didn't say to myself, I'm bored. This part needs to be taken out. This character needs to be removed because it doesn't work. This movie just works so well. There's so many ingredients in this recipe that make it so good to not only watch 5, 6, 7, 8, 20 times out of the year, because I do watch this movie a number of times out of the year, Christina, full disclosure. So I may not follow sports, but I will follow this movie to the death because I love it so much. And Gina Davis, I wish we could have gotten a little bit more from you in your film career. Yes, you did other things after this. Yes, don't get me wrong. But I wish we could have gotten more from you out of this because, oh my goodness gracious, did you play Dottie Hinson to the hilt? You smashed it out of the park so far that we can't even find the ball. This was great. Thanks for having me. I love this movie. I will continue to support this movie to my dying breath. It's my favorite sports movie of all time, even though I love Field of Dreams, but Field of Dreams is more of a spiritual movie than a sports film, in my opinion. That's why I would put this movie slightly over Field of Dreams if we're going to rank sports films here.
Perfect. That puts us at a 4.2 for all of us as a general average. So 4.2.
Yeah, that's pretty solid score for sure there. And I'm shocked that Ryan gave this 5 stars. I couldn't tell if he liked it or not.
All right, Aaron. So
a real curveball from Ryan.
Yeah, there a real curveball always.
Baseball.
So next week, we are going to be discussing a non-Disney / DreamWorks animated film. And Aaron and I are going to do the first thing. This is a brand new thing for us for Digesting Cinema. We are not telling you what our pick is for next week. So we are going to do a surprise pick for next week's episode. So there will be no teaser, no discussion this week. You guys will just have to find out when we post it what movie we are going to be discussing. And I'm very excited for what we're going to be watching.
Yep. No clues. I'm not going to say anything.
All right. So before we go, Aaron, anything you need to pitch?
Absolutely nothing I need to pitch. My partner, your husband, Anthony, and I, we've had a few team matches, including one coming up against Ryan Permison and his partner, Ryan O'Regan. That will be coming out on, I believe, Full Metal Teams. Mm-hmm. But besides that, I'm not doing anything except talking Star Wars a couple more weeks with you and back next week with animated. Perfect. I think we have one more week of Star Wars, actually. So
Yeah. Ryan, anything else? Anything you want to plug?
Yeah, you can find me on all forms of social media, Twitter and Instagram at RyanRPM5. Check us out on all forms of social media at It's Nerd Culture. New videos are being posted on our YouTube channel each and every week. We talk about all things nerdy, whether it's movies, TV series, you know, whatever your heart's content, you know, whatever you like that's nerdy, we try to, you know, present it to you and entertain you. That's why we're here. We're here to have fun, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, other than that, what Aaron was saying, a bunch of our fan league matches went up. The team match is coming up soon. And then a bunch of my other fan league matches went up on Full Metal. So feel free to check those out. See how I do in the ring as a competitor. Other than that, thank you so much for having me. This was great, and I hope to come back again soon. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And for those of you all that are listening, hopefully you've heard of this little league called the Schmodown, and you are listening to this on a Monday. You will be seeing my match 2 days from now on Wednesday, July 14th. So check that out, because I'm playing in my second match, so we will see what happens. But Ryan, we cannot thank you enough for joining us today. Truly, thank you for suggesting this movie. I'm so excited to have finally watched it. Absolute pleasure to have you on our show. Aaron, you always say something weird to close us out, so
yeah, absolutely. This was a lovely conversation with you both. I want to thank everybody for joining us. I think this is a movie that a lot of people had seen before, so we were a little late to the party, Christina, but that's all good. You know, it's not the first time, not the last time. But for Aaron, for Christina, for Ryan, keep digesting cinema and keep hitting it out of the park.